This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Oh, the tales bellhops and hotel maids could tell. And many have shared stories of walking in on or cleaning up after some unsavory scenes. Concierges, on the other hand, tend to get a more polite view of guests, along with some fairly ridiculous questions. Anna Drezin and Todd Dakota Briscoe met at NYU's Tisch School of the Arts before they started working as hotel concierges in New York's Times Square. And they heard some doozies, like, is Broadway safe on Mondays when the theaters go dark? Where can someone go get a really cheap Coach bag, but not a knockoff? Is the distance between 27th and 49th Street the same as 49th and 27th? Their Tumblr, How May We Hate You, became so popular that they've turned it into a book of some pretty surreal stories. Underlying it all, an acute view of how people treat people who wear name tags. And the book is called How May We Hate You, Notes from the Concierge Desk. Anna and Todd, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
I have to identify that Todd is with us via Skype. We've got Anna on a cell phone. So before it was a book, How May We Hate You was this Tumblr, and you posted conversations there with guests generally. In a collection of what I'd say is some pretty inane requests, any in particular that stand out for you as just the craziest thing you were ever asked to do?
I was asked to pack up a woman's room and ship her bags internationally for her, which I guess you could have done if you, like, have a butler named, like, Tidsley, who's, like, on permanent retainer, but that's, like, not what a concierge does. Also, she didn't tell me her room number, so that was probably the least doable thing.
How about for you, Todd? Craziest thing you were ever asked to do?
It was always very shocking to me that people felt no shame and seemed to have no embarrassment asking me for very, very illegal things. Particularly, I would be asked about quote-unquote adult massages and that type of thing. And people did it without batting an eye, as if it was a totally normal request, like asking for a map. And it surprised me every time. And one time we even had a woman call down from her room, and when we said we couldn't provide such a service, she asked if we'd be interested, which we declined.
Did you ever get in trouble for posting these things about guests or problems online? Did they figure out it was you?
Yeah, no, we posted the blog and didn't really expect it to. We knew that it was a problem, even though we were being anonymous at some point. It could come up with our employer knowing what we were doing, but we figured it would happen slower and we figured it out down the line. But then it got viral pretty quickly, and our names were associated with the blog. And we figured, since this was a day job for us, that we were both okay with being fired, but our bosses were surprisingly okay with it. They said that as long as we kept it anonymous and didn't say where we worked, that it was fine with them, which was a shock.
And I think for our colleagues and our bosses who have chosen this more as a career, they were always very aware that for us it was a temporary thing and that we had expiration dates in our positions as concierges. So I think part of them was kind of happy to see us doing something they couldn't do. You know, they wanted to pursue a career long term in this, so they could never take that risk. We were kind of in a position where if we did lose our jobs, we'd be okay. It wasn't what we wanted to do for the rest of our lives.
So you weren't both in this for the career concierge biz, huh?
I definitely saw this as a really great day job with very flexible hours. You know, if you work nights, you have the days open to go on auditions or to take meetings, that type of thing. You could rehearse. I was very flexible in setting my hours, which was lucky.
What should a guest expect of a concierge?
I think you can expect a concierge to help you with directions, restaurants nearby, getting tickets for shows and tours, helping with logistics, getting to and from the airport, getting around town, local information, and then more personal recommendations on, like, do we have enough time to do this, or what do you recommend as far as, like, our overall itinerary?
I also think that what you can expect from your concierge varies based on the type of hotel you're staying at. And we do address this in the book somewhat too, about you need to manage your expectations. If you're staying in a quote-unquote hotel that has a number in its title and it's off a highway somewhere in the middle of Nebraska, you're going to get very different concierge service than, say, a five-star hotel where the average room cost is $600 per night. So it can vary from property to property.
Well, you both worked in New York City, so which gave you the most trouble? Was it the nice family from Kansas looking for something to do, or the celebrities and the VIPs and the well-heeled travelers?
I think frequent travelers, like business travelers, were often the most difficult to please because the magic of travel had worn off for them. So all that was left was annoyance. And if they're talking to you, it's not like, "What's your favorite maple tree for me to propose to my beautiful wife?" Like, yeah, it was people who were tired and not super rich because, like, the freaky rich people are always sort of calm and nice in a way that's a little bit spooky. But it was like, yeah, like upper middle class business travelers, I would say, were the saltiest.
Do you have a thought, Todd, there?
I worked in a VIP lounge as a VIP concierge for a while, and for me, the VIPs definitely did give me more problems. They were certainly more vocal in their hatred of me, whether or not I had done anything wrong. But something about being a concierge and working in hospitality is you learn that terrible people come in all shapes and sizes and from all different backgrounds, so you never know what to expect.
So, on the whole, are most guests, though, pretty well adjusted? Do just the few stand out as unreasonable?
I think travelers are generally pretty disoriented. You're out of your element, even if you live down the block and your place is getting recarpeted, and that's why you're there. You're still, unless you live in the hotel, which some people do, you're out of your element. You're tired, maybe from flying. You left your favorite face wash at home, so your face feels kind of tight, and you know, it's you're dealing with people when they're not at their best. What was the split, Todd, that we said between tough guests and regular guests? But it's like,
I would say that 80% of the guests are great to work with, and then it's the other 20% that are usually problems.
what can a concierge not do that they are often expected to do? Besides, you know, pack up all of your bags and ship them off internationally.
Well, as we mentioned, we certainly can't do anything illegal. And I think that a common misconception that people had, at least in the New York City hotels, is people would ask us to do a certain job. And we would say, "I can't do that." And they would think that we were being insolent or stubborn when it was we couldn't do the job because it's a union job someone else has to do. So, for example, coming up and cleaning something in their room or taking their bags or even checking them into the hotel. I couldn't check people into the hotel, not because I didn't want to or because I was too invested in my Facebook at that moment. It was because that's a union job, so I have to direct you over to another desk.
I'm embarrassed to say that I don't really know if a concierge expects a tip for every suggestion or interaction. You know, what's the deal? How do we judge when and how much to tip a concierge?
I'm so glad you asked. We actually do have a flow chart in our book that will help you suss out whether or not you should tip your concierge. It's a very delicate process. But the I'll say the general safe bet is if you talk to them for longer than 10 minutes, then $5 is fair. And then, you know, if you wear a monocle, you probably want to go for like a 20.
If you come up to me and you say, "Oh my gosh, I don't know how to thank you. Thank you so much. I don't know how to thank you." The safe bet is the best way to thank me is to give me money. But I certainly don't expect a tip on every interaction. It's really if you feel like we've done a good job or we helped you do something that you couldn't do on your own, or like Anna said, if you've utilized us for a lengthy amount of time.
It's just such a weird thing, you know. You're there with your name tags, being of service. So people tend to ask you kind of bizarre things. Sometimes treat you like, I don't know, you work at Applebee's or something like that. And New Yorkers, of course, pride themselves on their disdain for tourists. So what was it like for you? You're there in Times Square. Your job depended on tourists.
I was a tourist. I grew up in Texas, and I would come to visit New York and fell in love with it. And I really treat tourists as if I would treat my parents. They sometimes get a little bit overwhelmed by a big city. So while there is this view of New Yorkers as being very jaded and hateful of tourists, when I was behind that desk, I really did try to help them. It can be a very confusing city. The subway confuses me daily, and I've lived here for 13 years. So I did try to help them. As soon as I would leave the hotel, I would curse the tourists in my way. But when I was behind the desk, I did want to help them appreciate New York because I love it here and I want them to see it through my eyes.
I think thinking of it in terms of our parents is also very helpful because when you see a long stream of people and they're just constantly asking for stuff of you, it's easy to lose touch with your empathy for them, but humanizing it in that way really helped. I had an elderly guest, a woman in her 80s was visiting from the UK, and her daughter was supposed to meet her in New York. They were going to go see some operas together, but her daughter got held up with work, so I kind of became this provincial British woman's guide to New York, and she was there all the time, and I could feel myself getting a little bit like, after the fifth visit that day, being like, oh my God, I'm not your personal assistant, blah, 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 getting a little annoyed. But then she took me to two operas with her and was perfectly lovely and gave me life advice and was just so such good company, and we still keep in touch. So it really shows how a little empathy can pay off in material ways.
So I just want to get back to the title of your book, How May We Hate You. I wonder how you maintained that, how may we help you kind of spirit, even in the face of some pretty poor behavior.
It's hard. It's hard sometimes. And it's probably that not that she actually hates you, and I don't think we necessarily hate the people. It's that we hate sometimes the position that we're in, or we hate, the person who was there right before that guest. To answer your question a little bit more to the point, I'm sorry. When you're having a bad day, or you're feeling such intense feelings towards a guest, and you want to try to hide it, I think it was very hard for me sometimes, to be honest.
Yeah, we're both expressive, emotional people, so it is hard to turn off our feelings. I think that was part of why I was not well suited to the job, is that I feel things deeply and I have an expressive face. That's part of it too. But yeah, I mean, I went to a craft beer bar last night and just wanted a light beer, and the guy looked at me like I was stabbing him. And I was like, oh, I get it. I've been there. It's not about me at all. It's that he hates all beer and wishes that he was on a yacht somewhere.
Well, it must be good for your acting chops, anyway.
That is true.
Anna Drezin, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Todd Dakota Briscoe, thanks for sharing some of those trade secrets.
Absolutely, it was my pleasure.
Anna and Todd are comedians turned concierges and authors of the Tumblr and the book, How May We Hate You? Notes from the Concierge Desk. Happy to report that they are no longer concierges. Anna now works for the humor website Cracked. Todd is at littlethings.com. It's a lifestyle website. You'll find a link to learn more about being a good guest and other humorous notes from being on the other side of the concierge desk at wordofmouthradio.org.